Hello, podcast people. It's Steph, and this is Finding Your Mojo, episode 3. I am just stood in a very sunny field. I've been stood here for ages waiting for my dog to reappear. He now is. He's eating grass. Lovely. So, what have you got this time? So, my guest this time is... It's Carla Jones, and I'm quite excited to have Carla on. I've known Carla for, it's maybe pre-COVID, so what's that, 3 years? Yeah, I've known Carla for about 3 years. She's a dance and movement practitioner, and a few reasons why I was really excited to have Carla on. One is... and I mentioned this, I think, in my intro episode, I am really keen to not just have visual artists on this podcast. So, you know, Carla comes from the dance world. It's a very alien little world to me. So it'd be interesting to get Carla's views on the whole creativity from a dance perspective. The other reason why I was specifically keen to get Carla on is... It was actually a conversation that I had with Carla early this year that sort of sparked the idea to do this podcast as a train goes by. We just got chatting and we just got talking about, you know, how visual artists work, how dance practitioners work, and I went away from that little conversation and I just thought, well, I had all kinds of thoughts, and that then led to me doing the podcast. So I'm going to hand over to Carla. I'm going to apologise for my dog making a brief appearance in our little chat, just because somebody banged on our door, and yeah, my dog doesn't like that. So brace yourself for him barking a little bit. So there you go. Here's Carla. Hello, Carla.
Hello, Steph.
Good to see you.
You too.
So before we leap into the questions, how are we feeling? Busy day?
We were just talking a little bit about this before, weren't we? Feeling like routine is needed after a week off at half term this last week. Just felt very busy, and I'm quite looking forward to getting back into the normal swing of life.
Okay, well, I will, I might ask you about your normal swing of life, but I always ask people to sort of introduce themselves a little bit to start with. All I said on my little intro was, dance and movement practitioner. That's the little tag I gave you, Carla.
Oh,
would that be correct?
That would be very correct, yes.
Okay.
Spot on with that. Plus maybe a little addition, because I've just had some new business cards printed as well that say this on.
Nice.
So officially on there, it has my name and it says dance artist and producer.
Oh, okay. Is that a fairly new addition to your...
Yeah. Well, maybe not so new now. I've been doing that for about 3.5 years. But we all know what was happening 3.5 years ago. It was the start of the pandemic.
We do, yeah. So when I learned all about Zoom.
Exactly, when we were all doing this all the time.
Yeah.
So I've never really had the need to... I guess, like, define myself kind of externally for what feels like really a really long time. Because I wasn't kind of like tendering for work or getting in new commissions or any of that. It was, you know, everything that I was doing stopped.
Yeah, I can so massively relate to that.
Yeah. So I felt like, I feel like now this year it's felt normal again, in inverted commas. I felt like I was going to events where I was seeing people again and people were asking me what I did. So I was like, do you know what? I haven't had any business cards since like pre-COVID. And before that, I just had my youngest. I'd only gone back to work from my last maternity leave for 2 months before the pandemic hit anyway.
Oh gosh, okay.
So it wasn't like it was even be way before then, before like, while maybe while I was pregnant with him or before, even before that, probably like 2018, really, when I was like properly sort of networking and events and all that kind of stuff. And now it feels like that's all back. I was like, right, I'm going to get like sort of a website out, got some business cards printed,
Yep.
polished up my LinkedIn, you know, did all that kind of outward facing stuff because I've just not had it.
And was this during COVID, during lockdown?
Yeah, so I only really learned to produce and kind of coordinate, manage all the behind the scenes stuff really mostly online
Okay.
initially, and then kind of had to, which was quite good in a way. I felt like I had a lot of skills that I was just learning them sort of second nature because that's the environment I find myself in. Whereas maybe people that had done that sort of work for quite a long time were finding it quite difficult to transition to online. Whereas, like, well, I don't really know any different.
Yeah.
I've just kind of done a job for 2 months and then gone into the pandemic. So I hadn't really got much experience of doing that in the real world. So it didn't feel like such a wrench, but there was still, you know, I still knew there was more to what I was doing rather than the whole sort of virtual world.
So did it's interesting because I've not like got a specific sort of COVID question, but I'm guessing that when I do more of these podcasts, it might pop up more often than not. I remember speaking to Emma a lot about, how artists survive during lockdown. Did that massively get you to reevaluate you and your career, COVID?
Yeah, I think the because the only work that I had on was all of the project management and production stuff. So the dance, as is the nature of dance, it's in person with people in a room,
Yeah.
or in a, you know, in a space. That all just stopped. So I was really grateful to the work I had at that time because it literally kept me afloat, like financially kept me afloat, but also like mentally and, you know, I guess physically in a way because I was, it felt like I was doing something and going somewhere different, even though I wasn't and we were all at home. But
Yeah.
by entering that online world, I kind of still was keeping up with that.
Yeah.
And then I literally just did that completely for about a year.
Okay.
So the dance, all the dance and movement stuff took a real back seat during that time.
So I'm going to take you backwards a little bit. Kind of your journey to kind of to where you are. Losing my voice to where you are now. So your journey into the arts, I suppose. Was that straight from school?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think I was quite a late starter getting into dance. I feel like I was quite a lot older than, you know, like most people will say, oh, I've done it since I could like walk, since I
Yeah.
was a baby. So I was 13. I was like fully prepared to be captain of the Lionesses.
Okay.
I was a huge, huge football fan. And that was life. You know, it was training and games all week, all weekend. And then a friend of mine, one of my really good mates that I met when I first started secondary school, I just thought she was really cool and really like looked up to her, really liked her. She went to dancing and she was like, oh, there's this street dance class. And it was just down the road at our local leisure centre. You should come and try it. You can try it for free. See how you get on. And honestly, like from the second that I walked in, it was like, I know people say like people dramatize these moments, but it was like a switch flipped and I was just completely hooked. And from then on, really, everything else, I just kind of stopped everything because I just wanted to dance more and more. And you only have so many, you know, when you're at school and then you're in college and all those things. There's only so much time that you have outside of those times. So all my after schools and all my weekends then just became dance. So I kind of switched the football for moving anything I, you know, anything I could get my hands on, whatever my mum and dad could afford. That's what I did.
I was going to ask you, although you probably answered it, or well, I don't know, it'd be a hard one. I just wondered why dance. What there is about dance that specifically sort of pushed your buttons.
Oh, that's a really good question, Steph. I
That's
like
probably
that.
a really hard one as well.
Yeah, like really difficult to pinpoint. I think I'd always been a big music fan. I think
Okay.
music was a big draw, and the dance I did was very full on, like very like physical and really in sync with whatever music was being played, and it was really loud and really in your face. And I think I really loved that. So my dad was a big my dad came was like a big raver. Dog's barking.
Yes, he is.
My dad was big into rave culture in the 90s, so we had a lot of like that sort of like real kind of pounding music in the house. And before that, I always remember like the radio was always on, the car always had some CD playing or whatever. And I was just really into that. You know, when you walk in a room and you can like feel the vibrations of the sound and the music. And they used to like turn all the lights off and have like disco lights on in the studio. And I just thought that was dead cool as well. So I think that was a big thing, a big draw, the rhythm and the beat and the way that everything was so in sync with the music. And I'd never danced. You know, went to like parties when I was a kid, but I'd never been to a dance class. And I was like, oh, I'm actually not terrible at it. Like, I sort of rocked up at the first day being like, oh my God, what, you know, what do I do with like my arms and legs and my body? And I was actually all right. And I remember the teacher coming up to me at the end and being like, you were actually all right. Like, you were good at that. And I think that validation of like, you know, going to something where I was not the most naturally gifted footballer, Steph. I had to work very hard to be sort of semi-mediocre at football. And for somebody to go, actually, you're all right at this. And I loved it so much. I really, really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I am.
And was that, I'm just wondering whether you had any sort of other outside influences, family, that had gone down the dance route?
No, nothing kind of existed within my immediate circle of people. I literally had that one friend at school that did it. But yeah, nobody I hung around with, no one in my family, no.
And was that quite, I don't know, was that quite hard? Because I know I was a bit the same.
Oh,
Didn't,
really, with art?
yeah, I had an
Yeah.
uncle. He was massively into the arts, used to teach it. But yeah, nobody else. Really, none of
No.
my family, none of my friends. So
Yeah, same.
it was quite solitary as a career. Initially.
Yeah, I think I was super lucky. I was talking to somebody about this literally earlier on today. My parents were just dead encouraging of whatever we wanted to do. They were like super liberal when we were growing up. We just weren't, I don't know, there wasn't really many rules and they weren't strict at all, and it was just very chill. Like whatever we wanted to do and whatever we sort of like stumbled upon or found ourselves doing, they were just dead encouraging of it. So I think it didn't feel difficult. And I knew, and I just turned around to them and was like, oh, you know, all these like football matches that everyone's been taking me to and all this kit you've been buying me, well, we're going to sack that all off. And it was fine. It like wasn't a thing at all. It was just like, do what makes you happy and what you enjoy.
So, at what point did kind of that love of dance turned into, okay, this is now going to be, I'm going to make a career of this? Because for me, that was painfully long. That
A slow
leap.
process.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
I
I mean,
do.
I did loads of other
Yeah.
jobs prior to taking the plunge and, let's make a living at this.
And doing art like full time. I think maybe because I carried on doing it for education, so I went down the education route and did. I had a wonderful teacher, a wonderful GCSE drama teacher who also was a dancer and had her own dance school that's still running now, actually, and was really encouraging of that and really kind of helped, like, supported me to get the marks in the other classes that I needed to go and do my GCSE dance as well. And then again with college, I decided to do A levels. School didn't offer, I stayed at sixth form at the school I was at, and they didn't offer dance at the time. There was only drama. So I had to go to night school to do my A level dance. So I had to travel a little bit to like the local college. And I had to go once a week for like 4 hours on an evening. So that was quite a big commitment. But I knew that I wanted to have that experience because I'd always had my heart set on going to uni. I didn't really know. I think I thought I'd probably end up going to uni and do like sports science because I was super sporty because I was like into football. But at the same time, I was also swimming. I used to play like cricket, like I did loads of sport. I was really into athletics. So I thought, oh, maybe I always knew I wanted to go to uni and maybe I'll do something sporty or active. And I knew I didn't want to ever do anything that involves sitting down. That was my only thing.
I was just trying to imagine you sat down doing nothing.
Typing around a desk in an office 9 to 5. Oh my gosh. I remember being in year four. This is a bit of a tangent. I don't know if this is relevant, but
Fine.
I remember being in primary school, very specifically in year four, and we had to take a photo of our face and then stick it on a body that you had to draw. And I stuck my face onto this blank body and I drew myself with, those vests and pants that runners wear. That like marathon runners wear. And then I was like, oh no, I don't think I want to actually be a runner. So I drew a javelin in my hand and we stuck them all up on the classroom wall of like, this is what we want to be when we grow up. And I remember even, I mean, I must have been like 7 or 8. And I remember turning to my teacher. As you can imagine, I was quite like an astute, annoying child. And I was like, whatever I do, miss, I just don't want to do a job where I have to sit down.
I mean, we've met quite a few times. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen you sat down, actually.
Apart from now, which is funny now with a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that does actually require me to sit down quite a lot more than I used to do.
Is that hard?
I think it challenges me in a different way because I think it's like more the mental challenge, which I think as I've got older and my, we all know what aging bodies feel like after, I don't think I could do the whole sort of 7 days a week teaching and performing and dancing anymore. I've already feel old and knackered even at 36. I think I really like the fact that some days, even if it's just 1 day a week, I am now sitting and yeah, or sitting a lot more. I wouldn't say sitting for a whole day and kind of just, being stationary all the time. But yeah, right. I like the challenge of organizing and kind of developing ideas and projects and things behind the scenes. That appeals to me more as I get older.
Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, because you've mentioned the producing and the teaching and the actual performing as well. It's probably again, it's probably going to be a really hard one to specifically answer. I just wondered if there was any of those elements that you loved the most, or do you just like that balance of doing bits of all of that?
I like the mixture, I think.
Because I mean, a lot of people ask me, and mine's sort of, I teach, I make my art, I do art projects, and I like the mix as well. I'd hate to like scrub one of those off.
Yeah, because even when you're, I think when I was a bit like what I imagine it's like with an artist as well. When I was teaching and performing and doing all those things, you still have to do all the behind the scenes stuff, right? And I kind of thought, when I first started doing the job I was doing, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm now being paid for sort of like what I've always done unpaid in a way, because it probably wasn't factored into how much time all of that stuff takes, all the planning and the organizing and everything that goes on in order for you to get up on stage or to go and teach class. And I really liked that, that I felt like I was sort of being, even though it was a separate job, it wasn't a job that involved, it wasn't part of my freelance work necessarily as a dancer. It was a separate job to that. But I was like, actually, I'm quite into it. It was quite nice to explore a different area of the, you know, that kind of the performing arts world, I guess. And I really enjoyed it. I was really into it. And I don't think now I could not do one or the other. I feel like I have to do both now.
So how did you get into the teaching side?
Yeah, so, oh, maybe this is goes back to what we were talking about before, actually, in terms of progressing into like a professional,
Yeah.
you know, making that leap from it being a hobby and something fun you do as a kid.
Because mine was, most of my career has largely been accidental. Oh, look what's fallen into my lap.
I think all artists have that, don't they? Like to varying degrees, but
Certainly teaching did for me. I literally fell into that.
literally, like it just slipped and there you were.
It was I left uni and I just got asked I got asked if
Yeah.
I wanted a studio in a school. I said yes and they said you'll have to do bits of teaching. I was like, okay.
Sure.
That's how it happened.
That literally happened like that.
Yeah.
I think I maybe it wasn't quite so accidental as that, how how I got into it. I'd always wanted to go to uni, and I know I wanted to do something creative and something physical. And when I found out while I was studying for my A level at night school, that you could do a degree in dance, oh my God, it was like, this is what I'm going to do now. Because I think even up until that point, even though I'd made all the effort to go to the night school classes, I wasn't really like thinking it'd be a career. But yeah, as soon as I realized you could do a degree, I was like, okay, well, that's my way in then. That's like my way to get more information about this life that I want to live. And that, yeah, just opened my eyes to, I guess, like I was feel like I was really lucky. It was a really vague degree course that I did. We did literally a bit of everything. And I felt like that gave me so much real world understanding of what's actually what exists outside of just the academia.
Okay, well that's nice to hear because I know, I mean I don't know sort of when you did your dance degree, but when I did my fine art degree, that was 99, 2000.
Okay.
Very little sort of career based
Really, yeah.
advice because I for years I had this romantic vision of just being an artist, just painting and making art all day,
Yeah.
every day,
Yeah.
which is lovely, but you know, how the hell do you survive
Doesn't
financially?
it doesn't really work like that in the real world. I think I was very the college that I went to Roehampton Uni, but it's like still collegiate, and the college that I went to was the education well, was responsible for all the education courses basically.
Okay.
So I was constantly surrounded by teachers, primary, secondary, academics that were teaching education, do you know what I mean, to other students. So I think naturally that spilled over into a lot of the dance and the teaching courses were in the same college. And I think that sort of, yeah, spilled over into that performing arts world. A lot of the drama students had that same sort of input as well. And it just, yeah, it was kind of always around. It was always like, well, and lots of my friends were training to be teachers that I made friends with when I went there. So it was, yeah, something that, but a lot of the time, I found that there was a lot of information about like how to go and teach dance in a primary school and how to go and teach dance in a secondary school. But that was it. It was very like black and white. there was no kind of like, but I was like, well, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't
Right.
want to be a full-time teacher in one of those settings. So then it was kind of me, I guess, going to those people that had that information and finding out, you know, I just always think you don't know what you don't know. Like, I didn't know there was this whole area of what is now my entire practice, which is community and participatory art.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that, you know, I thought you either went and danced for Rambert and you were at Sadler's Wells every week,
Yeah.
or you taught in a secondary school. Like, that was how binary, like, the
Yeah.
options were. And it wasn't until I started speaking, we were really lucky again, the lecturers and the staff that we had there were all industry professionals in some capacity. And they were, I then later found out, a lot of them were freelance. So they were freelancing lecturers and then doing all their other stuff outside of that. And I just spoke to them loads, loads and loads, and just got as much information as I could. Because I knew I didn't want to do either or.
Yeah.
I wanted to find, yeah, I loved the teaching and the education side, but I didn't want to do that all the time.
So, what else was going to ask you? The question was in my head, it's now gone. Yeah, I'm guessing that when you do a lot of your sort of teaching sessions, I don't know, do you get given a fairly specific sort of brief as to what to do, or is it, let's ask Carla, do what you want?
Well, yeah. I think sometimes there are the briefs that I am like required to fill in, you know, like maybe they've got really specific funding remits for a project.
And how are you with that?
I'm
I'm just.
all right. I'm all right. Just as long as it's not every single thing I do. Do you
Okay.
know what I mean? Like, you know, so if you can have, you're probably a bit the same. If you can have your creative freedom with a big chunk of the work you do, and then maybe like one thing that comes up every now and again is telling you this is what the outcomes are and this is what we want.
Yeah, I think I've always sort of battled a little bit with commissions and briefs and stuff like that, because it's,
Yeah.
if they're too specific, I feel as if I don't have too much creative input into it. But
Yeah.
then, I don't know, it's a little bit like having a boundary that you can't go beyond. I don't
Yeah.
mind it if they're sort of, if these boundaries are right at the edge of the field and I can have a nice play around in a big field, that's how
Yes.
I visualize it.
I like that. I like that analogy. That's a great way of thinking about it. Yeah, and I think, you know, especially now I'm like 15 years into my career. I've got a lot of experience and I feel like if people aren't sort of trusting me to have the input that I know I can bring to a project or a role, then maybe it's not the right sort of work for me now. Whereas
Yeah.
maybe when I first started off, I'd kind of just go, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, however you want me to work is fine, I'll do it. Whereas now I think if I am approached by maybe things that are a bit more rigid, you know, if they've got really strict boundaries for stuff, then it's probably not for me because I think it, like, I don't, maybe it's like an integrity thing a bit as well for me. Is that a
Yeah.
bit, arsey to say? Like,
I don't
I
think
know, you
so.
know, I know a bit arrogant, like, I know what I'm doing, so you've got to trust me kind of thing.
Well, it does boil down to experience though, doesn't it? You know,
Yeah.
if you have got years of experience, then that should be, what's the word? Accepted, I think. It's, you know.
Yeah.
So how are you
Yeah.
with deadlines and time management and stuff like that? I'm just trying to,
Gosh, yeah.
I'm thinking of things that I often struggle with, or battle with, should I
Do you know what? I
say.
think I'm better now. I do the other stuff, like the behind the scenes stuff that I do.
Okay.
I think that's made me, when we sort of came out of the pandemic. And I was then doing both jobs alongside because I picked up my dance work again. I think I'm better now because I see it from both perspectives. So, you know, when somebody's trying to organize you and they maybe like have to like keep chasing you for information, or you're like they're having to call you or whatever. I feel like because I now have to do that to other artists, I don't want to be that person that is, delaying any of their processes, because I know what it's like from the other side, to like be a bit of a pain in the ass and not. And sometimes I think artists can go, oh, well, I'm an artist and I make work and that's what I do. So I don't like need to worry about the deadline or the time or this, that, or the other. And I just don't think there's any room for that. Not when you're working with people. Fair enough if you're doing stuff just on your own for you and it's your own time and your own work. I mean, you can stretch that out as long as you like and do or do it as quickly as you like. But I feel like if it's, if other people are relying on me, I do try to be on it as much as I can. Do you find that difficult?
I do like having a deadline. I like
Oh,
to.
you like it, yeah.
Well, I find it's really useful for me because, I mean, as an example, I got given a commission a good few years ago. I think it was just before COVID, actually. I got given a commission to do a really intricate sort of portrait commission.
Ooh.
And they gave me a year to do it because it was for somebody's big birthday.
Oh, wow. So they gave you that like in advance of, yeah.
But because they gave me a year, I basically took a year to do it. If they'd be given me 2 months, I'd have done it within 2 months.
I know what you
If I
mean,
don't
yeah.
have any deadlines, that's when things all get a bit woolly. So as far as your sort of dance work, teaching work,
Yeah.
how much sort of creative prep do you have to do for that?
I think I've just started something new actually this year. So I've sort of had to get back into the swing of maybe doing that more. But I think because the other work that I do, I've literally been doing it for probably my whole career. Even if it's not with the same group, a similar sort of work. So I've always worked ever since I graduated with older people in dance. So
Okay.
sort of over 50s, over 60s, and
Yeah.
always worked in that like arts for health context. I feel like that is just completely second nature. And I could kind of do that. One of those things you can do a bit with your eyes shut.
Right. Okay.
Where I think again, since the pandemic, I've wanted this year I had a real like not I don't do New Year's resolutions as such, but a bit of a sort of, what do I want to do? Like this year is going to be this normal year. What do I want to do within it? And I was like, I really want to do something different. And I found I've done two completely different things this year that I've actually like I've never done before in terms of movement. And I've found myself having to get more into a headspace and more into like a planning and prep mode than probably what I've been used to recently. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I feel like
No.
I want to keep that fresh and learn new things, and like I want to kind of constantly be learning and developing, like as much as I can. So yeah, definitely this year so far, I've probably spent more time preparing for sessions than I sort of ever have done, I think.
The only reason I asked is just, I suppose I just was intrigued by your sort of creative, how your brain works creatively and how whether you can just switch it on and off or whether you have to do specific things to get in the right headspace.
Oh yeah, like have a bit of a ritual or yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got again because of COVID, I got really used to being creative at home because I'd maybe was similar, maybe other people were similar, but I'd never had to do that before. Because I'd always gone to a studio space or gone to, somewhere outside of the house that I could make and create in. Whereas I had to get used to doing that at home, and I also had to get used to doing that at home with three kids knocking about who weren't going anywhere.
It's fun that, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Wasn't it joyful?
Yeah.
So I feel like now I've sort of become less. I used to be quite picky with. I used to sort of like book a, you know, book time out in a studio, usually either before or after a class. So, you know, if you're in a place teaching for, say, like 2 hours, I'd just maybe tag on an hour on before or an hour after, and kind of then prep and plan and create whatever I needed to for, like, say, that week or that like term or whatever it is that I was doing. Whereas now I do think I've had to be more creative with where I can be creative, I think. I think I've had to do more at home. So I don't find it as difficult. And I've got now, I think as we went through those few years where we were in the house, all of us, I've had to create some floor. We didn't really have any floor space. So I didn't really need, do you know what I mean? Like clear, like a big clear area. And I have done that in a couple of rooms now. So if there are things that I need to sort of, you know, mess around with movement wise at home, I can do that. But ideally, yeah, I want to be in a big, beautiful studio on my own with some gorgeous sound on and do a lovely warm up and get really into it and see what comes.
So as far as I don't know, sort of inspiration, what inspires you, sort of dance-wise, does that come from the music or does it come from somewhere else?
Yeah,
Just because the
music's.
dance world is very, even though it's, you know, there's lots of things that fall under the arts umbrella, I feel
Yeah.
like dance is really alien to me.
Oh.
Which is
Yeah,
sad,
maybe
isn't it?
how it's how I feel about art though as well. I'm just like, what do you all do? Teach me your
No.
ways. How do you create this wonderful beauty? I can't even hold a pen right. Yeah, I suppose it is a bit like, I feel like things are quite mystical and magical, don't you, in this like
Yeah.
arty world that you don't know about. Yeah,
That's
me.
why I was really keen to have somebody on here
Yeah.
who did work in dance.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not, if it's something that you don't know loads about, you know, in terms of processing and creating. I think that's why I like talking to visual artists as well loads now, because I just so, I think I'm just nosy, but I'm just really intrigued.
See, for me, kind of, because somebody asked me about where I get my inspiration from, and I gave them a very lame answer, and I just said I get inspired from everything and everywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will see things visually that excite me. Other times, I get excited by certain art materials that I want to explore and play around with, just to see what I can create with
Yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So I was really intrigued, you
I
know,
think, yeah, I
how that
think,
works dance-wise.
yeah, movement wise for me, I think music and not, you know, this is very specific to me, I think, but I'm sure other people work in similar ways, but music is a big deal, is a big input. I remember at uni having to do, you know, when you get like specific tasks, like choreographic tasks or creative task and having to do stuff in silence. And I just remember thinking, this is the weirdest. Like, I just can't imagine. To me, dance and music are just completely synonymous. I can't do one without the other. Yeah, that's, you know, I hear music and instantly I want to move. So music is a big, I've got like a, yeah, whole archive of, you know, playlists and all sorts of different types of music that I'm like, personally, I'm into music as well. Like, I go to festivals, I go to lots of gigs. I really like sort of undiscovered and unknown bands and artists. And I really enjoy, I guess, listening, just being around musical people. And again, it's not a talent that I possess. So I quite like being around those people that do that sort of thing. It just really intrigues me, and I like the relationships that I have with, I've been lucky to work with composers and musicians on various bits of work, and I love the relationships that I can create with them.
I was going to ask you about whether you've done any sort of collaborative stuff.
Yeah, loads of with most of the work that I do, like the regular work, I've collaborated with musicians and percussionists and people into sound design. And I'm really fascinated by that as well. And I think because the two are so connected for me anyway, I and probably for a lot of other dancers and, movement people, I really enjoy working from that. But I love going into a room and working with people. I think the people are my inspiration. A lot of my training, because I work a lot with disabled, learning disabled adults and young people, a lot of my training comes from responsive teaching. So it's kind of getting alongside that person and I guess sort of highlighting and kind of showcasing, rather than what they're not able to do, what they are able to do, like what their abilities are, and bringing that out in someone, whether that's through them speaking about it or moving about it. So I really enjoy feeding off the people that I'm in a room with, and I quite like to have a lot of information about the groups I'm going to work with beforehand, and I like to go in and do quite a lot of visits, kind of pre-dance stuff, so that I really get to know those people. And a lot of the people I work with, I do quite regular work as well, so I've known them for a long time.
I was going to ask you about that.
So that's, again, that's different because that's a sort of ongoing relationship that we all have. And they trust me and I trust them, and it's that mutual kind of trust where they know that I'll provide what they like, and that's because I like doing that as well. So it works both ways. But yeah, the people, the music, and then I guess other, art c can come into it. I've worked a lot with visual art in terms of like it being a stimulus for movement or like a starting place. I've worked a lot with poetry, words and text as well.
Nice.
If that's for, a specific project, or I've been brought into somebody else's idea, that kind of way of working.
Yeah, I've done a few projects like that where I can remember years ago doing a art and music project, mark making to music,
Oh
was
yeah.
really interesting.
I do quite a lot of that actually with the really little ones that I work with. They love that.
Yeah, I like a collaborative project.
I think for me now, like the organisation that I started working for when I started my producing work had a really lovely, like just has a really lovely ethos and a lovely way of working, which is you're never, like basically you're never alone is the ultimate like line, I guess, that they stick to in everything. So everything you do, you've got a collaborator. And I think once I sort of worked in that way, I couldn't go back to being, up till that point, I was quite standalone. I was very, independent, if you like, and like a bit of a lone ranger, but maybe not in the way that I wanted to be. I don't think I really realized how much I enjoy collaboration until I sort of started saying, I'm only going to work in this way, like I'm only going to work with another person. And it's way better.
So sort of looking ahead, I don't know, ideal project, ambitions, that sort of anything you'd love to do, apart from playing football for England, probably.
Yeah, I could definitely re-pick, pick up that career that I dropped at 16. 20 years later, yeah, I can do it. I think I'd have to retire now, wouldn't I, at my age, if I was a footballer? I wouldn't be allowed to play. So I've started some really interesting work this year, which I'm hoping is going to turn. It's not, it's training at the moment, and hopefully it will lead into work with people who are survivors of domestic abuse.
Oh, nice.
I've worked with families quite a lot, mostly like mums and babies, or like mums and young children, and potentially other wider family members, but mostly that sort of setup. And have had, I guess because of like the nature of the work that I do, I've maybe been involved with quite vulnerable families and families that are sort of known to social services and maybe have support from those provisions. And it's not something that I've ever really encountered up until quite recently in the past couple of years. And I just got really intrigued as to like, so they'd been signposted to these sessions that I was running and these workshops. And I was like, what are the pathways for people that are like maybe harder to reach, that, like can't be contacted or can't be sort of like engaged because that might, that might be quite dangerous for them. Or because we were really lucky that those families had found us that were coming to these things, and it's like supported a lot of change in their life.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, it really shows, you can really see it through those bonds and family dynamics that get like strengthened, especially through movement, like physical touch
Yeah.
and the care that comes with that. And I was really intrigued. So an opportunity came up at the beginning of this year that I went for, and I'm training at the moment, and I'm
Oh,
really
nice.
hopeful that that will be something that I do sort of maybe towards the start of next year, sort of within the next 6 months or so.
Exciting.
That's my, yeah, it is. It's really exciting. It's a group of people that I've never worked with before, and I know nothing about. I'm a complete kind of beginner in the sense of like I've no idea about any systems or processes or anything that they've been through. So I'm just really eager to learn and to see if I can go into those settings where they are and help, I guess, and like support. But not in a sort of, not in a therapeutic or a kind of talking way, like in that physical
Yeah.
connection way. Yeah.
Only other questions that I've got, just
Yes.
because we've done quite well. I've asked you
Got
nearly
through
all of them,
loads.
actually. Well, I was going to ask you what else, if not dance, but I probably know the answer to that.
I don't
And
know.
whether you've had any sort of wobbles and thought, this career's not for me.
Oh yeah, God, we've all, we must have all had the wobbles.
Just because, the joys of working in the arts.
Do you still get wobbles like now? Like, because now you're doing this full time and this is, life, career.
Less. That's a very
Less
short
so than you
answer.
did.
I used to get them a lot.
Yeah.
It was always sort of down to finance.
Yeah.
Paying bills, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then COVID comes along
Yeah.
and makes it insanely hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know, when it's, when it is your passion, when you've kind of chosen to pursue a career with something that you are insanely passionate about, it is really hard to walk away from that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I've been close, not regularly, but definitely like seriously close a few times, like where I was like probably at the point of like I was pl applying for like completely other random jobs.
Yeah.
I've definitely been there. I had quite a bad experience, or quite a few bad experiences of teaching when I first started teaching after uni. And I think I just thought, oh my God, this is not, this is not what I thought it was.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I've had times in my career where I've sort of been 99% a teacher, 1% me as an artist.
Yeah, which is, then I think that's when you get a bit wobbly.
Yeah.
Because I think I've been the same when I've been teaching like most of the time and had no sort of creative time for me,
Yeah.
that's definitely where I can highlight, that's happened and I've gone, screw this, this is not
Yeah.
worth, because then I feel like I could go and be a teacher and be like paid more and have a pension and stuff.
Well,
If I was going to do
I know
that.
that's always the swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Because she's sort
Yeah.
of times when I've had big wobbles are possibly when I've been earning the most, because I've just had so much teaching work. But
Yeah. Which typically pays better than, like, for me, it'd be like the opposite to performing. Like, it pays better than that. So.
But then I think I spoke about this in the last podcast actually with Emma. It was COVID that, when a big chunk of that work gets removed,
Yeah.
you suddenly see the light, really.
Yeah, I think maybe that was a good thing for me a little bit as well, because I was pretty much only teaching. And again, it was different because I'd been on maternity leave before that. But before that, I was pretty much just not just teaching, because that's, that is a skill and that is
It is, absolutely.
a creative outlet in its own right. But it's not what I want to do all the time.
No, it wasn't for me either.
So I think when you're only doing that and you can only sort of, I feel like you can't see beyond that. You can only see like what's right in front of you. Like I find I get quite tunnel visioned with stuff. Whereas times like now, I guess, where I'm doing bits of everything that I love, I don't feel like I'm sort of closed off with my vision with where I want to sort of go and what I'd like to do. I feel like I'm more open to things coming into me in terms of work and offers and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I definitely don't feel as wobbly as I used to. I used to, when I was teaching all the time at points, I used to have big wobbles where I just thought, oh no. I think I kind of thought, what's the point? I may as well be doing some corporate job or doing something totally different, and just maybe dance is just my hobby, And people say that to me now. People probably do it to you. They just come up to me like, if I've not seen, people maybe I've not seen since like school or college, or are you still doing your dancing?
Somebody said that to me, oh, probably a fortnight ago
Oh no.
at a party. Somebody said, so it's all your real job then?
Oh, they actually said it like that.
Is
Wow.
that they they said, is that your real job, or do you have a, I'm not sure if they use the word proper job, but they were implying something like that.
Along those lines of like it's not a real job to do. I still get it from like my close family and friends sometimes. I feel like they don't even really know. Sometimes people ask me, but are you being paid for that? I'm like, I mean, yes, it's difficult when my life and work are intertwined because we love what we do, so it also is part of us. But essentially, yes, if I'm going to work, someone has, like, you wouldn't turn up to work and not be paid. Like, I'm like,
No.
you are also expect, you know what I mean? You might love your job, but you wouldn't turn up and go, oh, I'll just do this for free this afternoon.
I know.
Like, I kind of have to give them a bit of a reality check and be like, but I think because I go to lots of, because I do class and I go to workshops that I pay to go to things for me to sort of fill my cup in that sense. And I do development things that I pay for or maybe that are free, but I choose to do that in my downtime as well. I think people do get confused as to like where the line is. Like, is this your paid work? Is this your fun? What is this? It's very confusing.
Final question from me.
Yes. Yeah.
Anything you want to ask me?
Yes. I feel like maybe I've already actually asked you this because I was going to ask you a different question. But yeah, I kind of wanted to know what inspired you, which I think we've already touched on a little bit, but I guess I've spoke a bit about what inspired me from maybe like being quite young. But maybe what was that like initial for you spark, or maybe was it like a light bulb moment, or was it like a gradual kind of like leaning into art, or how did that happen for you?
Okay. I've always been into art from like as early as I can ever remember. I was quite, I don't know, I was quite solitary as a kid. So for me, like a sketchbook was like the best thing. It was like the best thing I could have. Sketchbook, pencil. I used to draw all the time. And I remember, I mean, obviously I did art at school. I was fairly good at it, which is always a big boost to the ego. And I don't know if it was art for me was because as a little kid, I always had like these like romantic visions of an artist just like sat in their studio just painting pictures all the time. And I got quite hooked on that. I thought how amazing it would be to like be an artist. Without any inclination that that may ever happen. I don't think there was any light bulb moment. I literally, I've always done art. When I was about, I think I was probably like 15, 14, 15, last few years of school, I went to a evening art class. There was a lady on our street that went. She knew that I was really into drawing. I used to go with her. I was the youngest person there by about 60 years, probably.
It actually like the pensioners club, but
It was,
they
yeah.
just like sort of disguised it as an art?
And for me, I just saw art as a skill that I needed to learn how to do better. I just wanted to be able to draw to the best of my ability. And I sort of continued doing that for years without any real sort of know-how as to how I could possibly do that as a career. And it, yeah, I've given you a very rambly answer here.
No, it's great. It's so interesting. I love to hear
And I
those
sort of,
stories.
I continued with my art, drawing, painting, all kinds of stuff. I did it, I suppose you would say, as a hobby, because I had other jobs. I used to like paint until like early hours of the morning. I would have a job in the daytime, then I would come home when I was living on my own,
And just
and
paint.
I just used to paint until like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then eventually, sort of, I was probably late 20s. Somebody said, you really need to go to uni. And I did.
Oh, so you were later going
I
to
was.
study, like rather than straight out of college or whatever.
And I'd sort of gradually, because I had full-time jobs and used to do my art on the side, I suppose. Eventually, my jobs used to become sort of more part-time, which gave me more time to do my art. And then after uni, that's when I fell into teaching.
So you did your
There.
degree slightly later on,
Yeah, I think
and then
I left when I was 29, 30, something like
okay,
that.
yeah. So then you were sort of into that world. Then you talked about the like getting the first sort of commission, if you like, that you had, where you would then you got offered that space, but you had to do a bit of teaching as well.
And it's, yeah, because I, even when I went to uni, I mean, uni was brilliant for me with regards to massively changing my whole approach to making art. It was the best thing by far that ever happened to me because it just encouraged me to be a lot more playful, experimental. I was very much stuck in my ways before I went to uni. But career-wise, I still didn't know how the hell I was ever going to survive as an artist to the day I left uni. I literally fell out of uni and just thought, what the
There
hell am I going to do?
we
And that's when I got asked if I would, if I wanted the studio space in a school.
Yeah. And did you kind of then build, like, was that a bit of a kickstarter for like the momentum with,
That
generating more work and
yeah,
doing that full time?
because that was a real baptism of fire with regards to teaching. Got to deliver art sessions in schools, and gradually that sort of work built up,
Yeah.
and the rest is history.
Love
There you go. But I don't think I had a real light bulb moment, really. It was just, it has always been the thing that I've always wanted to do. Don't know
Yeah,
why.
same. I think you just, and when you realize that, I think you just find any way you can possible to make it. Like literally your life's work, because if you know you're like you can't do anything else, like that is just literally all you can do, you just try and make it work, don't you?
Because I, you know, if I sort of think back to pre-uni when I, when I had other jobs, I used to dread the alarm going off in the morning.
Yeah.
I love my job now. Absolutely love it.
And that's like kind of all you, I don't know, I just feel like in life that's all you sort of want. You just want, I don't like, I mean, we're not in this for the money. You don't go into the arts for
No.
any sort of like
Oh,
financial
God,
like
no. I mean,
gain.
the first job I had from school was probably the best paid job I've ever had
Yeah.
in my career.
I think even if you do, like if you land big jobs in inverted commas, like you can be an artistic director of like an organization and it's still not great money. Like it's
No.
still,
I know.
you still never, even when you sort of reach the upper echelons of our industry, you're still never earning. So I just think if this is what you're sort of, if this is your calling, this is what you're sort of meant to do, then have fun doing it and
And
enjoy the
enjoy it.
process. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, we all have to live. That's just, and we all have bills to pay. That's just life. But I feel like if you can do that and not dread, like you say, not dread getting up and going into work, then I've got a yoga teacher who she has a really great mantra. She says, "My life, I try and make my life like a holiday so I don't need a break from it." And I love that. I'm like,
I'm
that.
stealing that.
Yeah, have it, please have it. I'm like, that is genius. Like to try and curate your existence so that you don't feel like you need to ever sort of like run away from it and abandon it all. And yeah, I do feel like, if you can try and get as close to that as you possibly can, then that's success for me as well. Like that's kind of my success.
It's nice to hear that, because I don't know, I've always wondered if, I don't know, if you asked, I don't know, somebody that works in a bank, or,
Oh yeah.
somebody that drives delivery trucks up and down the country, whether they absolutely love their job,
I think
or
there would
whether
be the
it's a
odd
job, I don't
person.
know.
Yeah, I think there would. I think you would find maybe slightly more people than you think would be. You know what I mean? Would be all right with it. But I mean, I live with somebody. My husband is very creative and very. I always tell him he's a way more talented musician than I am dancer. But he doesn't want to make a living out of it.
No.
He really hates and still hates the idea that it would ever be something he did to make money, because for him it's pure love and joy. And if he had to do, and if he had to make money and do it as his career, it would involve teaching and it would involve doing the things that he didn't want to do with his art.
The love would go.
The love, he just would be like totally, in despair. So he actually prefers to have a job that is a job that's separate, and then, he does his hobby and loves it still.
That's interesting because I suppose in essence that's why I was keen to do these podcasts, just because working in the arts is a funny little profession.
Very, yeah. It's very odd a lot of the time. And I think it still sort of culturally and societally has this very skewed view of, like, sort of like the general public's view is still very mixed. Like the school playground vibe. Like, oh my God, I feel like
I know.
I just don't tell anyone what I do, and I don't speak to anyone
Well,
because
not unless you want to start a half-hour conversation
it opens
explaining
such a
your
can of
job.
worms. Yeah, like,
I
well, what
know.
do you do for work? And people literally have like backed away from me, like in the past. So I'm just like, keep my mouth shut. I just don't explain anything. I just keep it like very sort of surface level chat. And I sort of ask them about their work because a lot of people have quite like regular jobs that they can kind of explain.
They can put them in those pigeonholes really quickly.
Yeah, they can go, oh, well, yeah, I'm a social worker, I'm a nurse, I'm a firefighter, I do this, that, and that. And like, mine would just not be that simple. Like,
Now I've tried, for years I've tried to condense mine to as short as possible, but it is still re a really complicated conversation whenever anybody asks me.
yeah, it's too difficult for like the playground in the morning.
So there you go. That was the very lovely and very bubbly Carla. A big thanks to Carla for spending time chatting with me. I knew it would be lovely talking to Carla. She didn't disappoint. I'm going to put a few links in the description to the podcast, just in case anybody wants to find out a bit more about Carla and the work she does. I'll put some links and info in the description. Apologies for sniffing. I'm stood in the same dog walking field that I was stood at the beginning of this episode. So I recorded the intro yesterday in this field. Glorious sunshine, very lovely. I'm back in it today. My dog is still eating grass. It is bloody freezing today. Not impressed. So my eyes are streaming. My nose is running as it does when it's cold. It's not a pretty sight. So I'm not going to hang around too much. All I was going to say was, I knew it would be super interesting chatting with Carla. I guessed that music would have played a big part in her creativity, just because she's, in the dance world. One thing that I didn't get a chance to say, the interviews could have sort of flew by really quickly. I was going to mention to Carla how much music plays a massive part in my own creativity as well. It's very rare that I, create artwork silently. I nearly always have music on. And I massively feed off that. To the point where, sometimes if I'm not quite feeling it, if the mojo's gone, music can really kickstart me back into being creative again. That was the only thing I forgot to mention. And the other thing I'm going to say before I disappear is, if there's any other creatives out there who are listening to this and fancy a little chat with me about your work, what you do, just get in touch. It'd be lovely chatting to you. So I'm going to wander off in this cold field, and I leave you with about 20 seconds of jolly music, and you can imagine Carla dancing away to it. So I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you again soon.
Thank you.